This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. An unprecedented recovery efforts being readied around that collapsed bridge in Baltimore. CBS's Nicole Skaga reports.
A colossal crane capable of moving 1,000 tons now poised to lift the wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. An estimated 2,000 to 3,000 tons of steel now sitting atop of the cargo ship Dolly. Underway, 7 floating cranes, 10 tugboats, 9 barges, 8 salvage vessels, and 5 Coast Guard vessels, a fleet tasked with clearing the 700-foot channel.
CBS News has learned a federal inventory suggests more bridges could also be vulnerable. CBS's Stephen Stock has that.
This national inventory tracks the condition of all bridges. It lists 4,200 that allow ships to go under them. Of those, about a third are described as having functional pier protection, including the Key Bridge. But the inventory does not provide specifics about what that protection is, or whether it could withstand impact like Tuesday's crash in Baltimore.
Pope Francis was a no-show at a significant Easter ceremony last night.
The Vatican announced late last night that Pope Francis would be skipping the traditional Way of the Cross procession held on Good Friday at Rome's ancient Colosseum to protect his health. This year, the Pope himself had composed the meditations, read at each of the 14 stations of the cross. The Pope watched the procession from his home at the Vatican. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
Pope Francis is 87 years old. As Israel's offensive in Gaza continues, CBS's David Martin says the White House seems to be saying one thing and doing another.
Despite repeatedly expressing its concerns about civilian casualties, the Biden administration is continuing to deliver high-powered weapons to Israel. A U.S. official confirms that in recent days, the U.S. has authorized the transfer to Israel of billions of dollars in weapons, including 2,500-pound bombs, even as it has warned Israel against an all-out offensive in the south of Gaza, where more than 1 million civilians are sheltering.
Climate change, it's starting to affect property prices in some coastal areas.
Prices for some properties in coastal Massachusetts are dropping sharply as owners try to get what they can out of threatened homes. Real estate agent Karen Forrest sells oceanfront properties in New England.
It may just be too much of a burden financially.
In Nantucket, a beachfront property that listed for almost $3.3 million in 2017 is now listed for just $600,000. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
You're listening to CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin is one of the first states to join a new effort to get nutritious food to children from low-income families during the summer. Here's Mike Moe.
Governor Tony Evers says Wisconsin is the first state to get the green light for the summer electronic benefit transfer program. 36 other states are poised to launch this summer, too. Eligible households will receive preloaded debit cards that families can use to buy groceries. Shelley Fortner of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse applauds the move, noting half of the kids in the local school district already qualify for free and reduced-price lunches during school.
We've got families with low incomes, most of them working, by the way, but just not able to put that extra meal on the table for kids who are home during the summer months.
This new permanent program, authorized by Congress, is similar to the enhanced meal access the federal government provided during the pandemic. Throughout Wisconsin, there are separate meal sites for these kids when school isn't in session, but supporters of the new effort say it provides more flexibility, especially for households with limited transportation options. State officials point out that most families already enrolled in the National School Lunch Program will automatically receive the summer benefits. Fortner says meal access aids kids in their learning. For the summer, she says the additional access will help keep them active.
We've had a lot of information about, you know, sedentary activities like video games and TV and all of that. But our kids are now getting outdoors more, and they need to have that energy to be able to keep that up.
She adds this should help foster healthy lifelong habits for kids and prevent them from starting the next school year feeling sluggish. It's anticipated the money will be available in late June. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Conversations and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and maybe a thunderstorm, a high near 49. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 35. More rain possible on Sunday, cloudy skies, 46. Rain likely Sunday night with a low around 38. For Monday, more rain, breezy, and 46.
Right now, 35.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
March 30th, 2024, Easter weekend. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's still time for This Week in Waukesha, Hour 2. I'm your host, Don Brown. I am joined by my faithful producer, Anya. And Anya, you have somebody in the studio with you here this morning.
We do. Waukesha, say hello to my trainee, Abby. Abby, say hello to
hello,
Waukesha.
Hello, Abby. Say hello.
Hello, Waukesha.
All right. Great to see you. Yep. And I know Triple G, Greg Wansnyder, says his best to you. He's very excited that you're with us today in training. So it's good to have that Carol touch here in our university city and in here in the WAUK studio. And very excited about the second hour. I've been working hard to put this together. And, you know, these guys get very busy with, not even when the snow's melted, it's still snowing out and they're already getting ready, indoor practices and whatnot. But glad to have back for the second year in a row Waukesha North head varsity coach Don Radomski and Waukesha South varsity coach in his second year, John Stillman. Welcome, gentlemen. How are we this morning?
Welcome. Thanks for having
me. We are great.
Fantastic.
You got it. So you guys, I know you met last Wednesday in a what we Irish call a friendly, a little scrimmage over there. Was it a frame, I think?
Mm-hmm.
How'd it go?
It was fun. Well, we were supposed to have a scrimmage against Dominican and on the night before. And, the weather turned for the worse. So we were kind of scrambling around. And I called up John and said, hey, if you guys have a chance to come out to a practice, love to have it. We had frame booked already, so we were just going to have a team practice, and John was willing to come out, and it was fun. It was good. It was a nice chance to see some JV guys. He wasn't fully, staffed. I wasn't either.
Sure.
A lot of our guys on spring break right now, but it was fun. Got to see a lot of different pitchers and battle it out. It was fun. I got to call balls and strikes on my guys, and and John called balls and strikes on his guys.
Oh, so you did your own upping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yep.
Yeah, I rang up a couple of our guys because they weren't aggressive with two strikes. But it was perfect because we had our first real game on Thursday. So and Wednesday was the first time that we were able to get outside, and it was great to see live pitching. It was great to make plays and situations, and it was something that we had lacked, and it was a perfect timing for that.
That's good.
Yeah.
So and I know. The scrimmage benefited South perhaps more because you guys had a game the next day, home opener against non-conference Pius, the Popes. And I was there in attendance and got to watch a really exciting 3-2 win.
That's going to be, I think that might be our path for success this year, to have really good pitching.
Great pitch.
Solid defense, timely hitting, and just take advantage of any mistakes that the other team makes. We're not going to outslug teams. And we did, like you said, we got dynamite pitching from Brighton Staub and Tyler Conger on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, Brighton was like 4 1/3 innings, gave up maybe 3 or 4 hits, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I thought the strategy was great because, you know, Brighton had pretty much done a good job of shutting him down. Great support in the field. And then Pius employed this little small ball tactic where every guy was bunting.
Yeah.
That's and on a turf field, the way that ball died.
Coach Quijas. If you're playing Pius, if you're playing the Popes, you pretty much know going into Quijas likes to play small ball.
Absolutely.
But it worked, and it got a run in, and they were threatening, and that's when Coach Stillman made the pitching change. And I thought it was smart because the heat that Tyler puts on, if you're going to try to bunt it, it's going to sail into the, you know, it's going to be a lot more playable than what they were doing. And
well, I'm not going to take too much credit for that, sure, because that was kind of the plan all along to have Brighton go about that long and have Tyler come in. But they had three bunts in a row that were just excellent bunts. And we didn't play it poorly. One, they just beat out. And one, our first baseman pulled his foot. And it wasn't like, we were throwing the ball around.
Right.
Just they did a really good job at what they do. And
especially in a turf field. It'd be different if it was like back in JV and they're playing at Prairie, but
and it dies and yeah.
Yeah. But the way they got that ball to die in the turf was amazing to me.
Yeah. So we were just happy to get out of there with a win and just a really nice way to start.
And sure, you know, and that's a good remark of like character in a tough game like that. Maybe the hitting's not doing what you want it to do, but the pitching and the defense come through. So
and like I said, that's going to look familiar this year.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was one play. I thought the play of the game, other than the pitching, of course, was what looked like an extra base hit in right center. And your freshman, is he a freshman?
Sophomore.
What's his name again?
Alex Montez.
Oh, Alex Montez. Yep, we saw his dad, coach, basketball coach Lee Montez there and his mom. And that was a heck of a catch. I mean, that he turned the wheels on to catch.
Well,
that.
And he made that look a lot easier than what it was.
Yep.
And we noticed that from the get-go that he was our center fielder. He just gets jumps. And
sure,
he, like I said, makes those plays look really, really easy.
Sure, sure. So, you know, a couple good mojos working for you that you may not be well. The first you'd made was your guys in the corners, first base Logan Dable and third base Ben Jimenez, are members of the state champion Waukesha South cheerleading team. So I think that's got to be very positive mode, bringing that winning weight. But also, when my son Evan, who's on the team, came home the other night, new numbers were assigned. And he was assigned number 9, which was my number on the 82 world champions of Orchard Park Senior League Baseball, the Royals.
Beautiful.
All-star season.
Who doesn't remember the Royals?
Yeah, 82 Royals. Yeah.
Of Orchard Park.
And that's it. And then, but I said, yeah, I think Evan, at the time I thought he was playing center. I said, yeah, I was a left fielder though. And then I get there and Evan's playing left field. So like, you know, it's all the stars are lining up. So once we get him to hitting the way I did that year, I was lights out. Anyway.
Well, speaking of Evan, on the scrimmage, Evan was on the mound. You got to throw an inning. And again, I'm calling balls and strikes to my own guys. So Evan was on the mound and, you know, I'm looking at everything else going on. Evan had already pitched to a batter, and I didn't realize it was Evan on the mound.
Okay.
You know, and he turned around and said, oh, Evan, how you doing? It was cool. He looked good, though. He looked good.
Yeah. Sure. So speaking of looking good, you have to feel pretty good about your team this year. You have some seniors returning. I know South has 8 coming back. Coach Radomski?
Yeah, we have quite a core coming back, which has been fantastic, letting those guys – have leadership with running open gyms and
sure,
just being more vocal too with the younger crew. We have a really talented younger crew too, so it's important that our older guys are mentoring those guys coming through the ropes. And but yeah, we have we only have really two open spots that we're still kind of scratching our head, not exactly sure what we're going to do. But our whole infield's coming back, center fielder's coming back. So yeah, we feel pretty confident with having that. It makes a big deal having all that senior leadership.
Sure, sure. I imagine. So now you're the dean of the two coaches here. How many years have you been at South now? Is it 5 or 6? I'm trying, or more.
No, I think, don't put me on a spot. I think it's my 6th year. That COVID kind of screwed me up. So
yeah.
I think this is 6 years.
Easy to do. So, and this is the second year for Coach Stillman, but Coach is, in terms of his time at South, he's an alumnus there. Class of 87.
Class of 87, yep. Long ago and far away.
Football and baseball. And I graduated North Central College. When I was covering the Carroll North Central game, John and his son were kind enough to come on for the halftime interview. And I said, you know, did Carroll look at you? And he said, yeah, the problem is I liked Carroll, but Carroll was closer to my house in Waukesha Southwest, so I decided I needed to get away for a little
bit. That was a deal breaker.
But you came home.
But I was actually, and I don't know if I told you this, but I was Carroll's ball boy for Saturday games since I was in middle school, like all the way through high school.
Very cool.
And got me into the game, and they gave me a hot dog.
Nice.
That was my payment.
That's a good compensation of that.
I might do that for a hot dog now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I heard somewhere that I was listening to Todd Elbaugh, and there's 7-Eleven's introducing hot dog flavored water. I think they
no thanks.
Yeah, you know, like pass. But you know,
no thanks.
So yeah,
maybe the other way around. I don't know, but that sounds pretty gross.
Yeah, I just that's not.
Although they did say they were going to introduce that on April 1st.
There you go.
So that might have something to do with it.
There you go. Yeah, I like you, Johnny. You got it.
My favorite April Fool's Day joke was there's a furniture retailer in Chicago called Walter E. Smith. You dream it, we build it. That's their motto. And they announced that they were buying the naming rights to Wrigley Field. It was going to be known as Walter E. Smith Field. And the Cubs gave them the go. You know, they did a big press conference at the end of the day saying April Fool's. And they thanked the Cubs for allowing them to do that. And I thought that was clever marketing. So
that's good.
Yeah. But I was thinking of some good April Fool, but you can't, FCC's got some pretty tight guidelines on.
I can imagine.
So, because I was going to do Waukesha's got a UFO history, and I was going to do a whole like Orson Welles thing. This was last year. And we have a guy named Josh Hughes in town, works at Carroll, and he gives the ghost tours. He owns the franchise here.
Oh.
But part of that tour is there's a UFO aspect to it too. So
interesting.
It's related to the Nike missile base at Hillcrest Park. That's part of it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd like to hear some stories.
We're gonna organize a get together for we'll try to maybe include you guys.
That'd be cool.
He does like tours of 10 or 20, and usually there's fun beverages involved. So.
Nice. I'm always up for a good documentary about UFOs.
There you go. Now, I took a picture of the two of you last year, and Coach Stillman brought a bat that John's reintroduced as a tradition that the winning team got this. It's a very long bat too, and Don's proudly holding it. But what I thought wasn't fair because you guys split, but Don won the second game. North won the second game, so he gets to keep it for most of the year. And like, could we do if you guys split again? Could we do a third game rubber match, say like Banting Park or somewhere, non-sanctioned? You know,
wiffle ball,
baseball, hardball, kickball. But
I like the non-baseball aspect of it. Kickball or even like Olympics where you have to do a little bit of everything and
skill competitions.
I wouldn't want to burn out my pitchers more than I already do.
See who gets the bat for the rest of the year in the event of a split. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That's the deal. They get to keep it.
And hopefully right now it's in our trophy case at Waukesha North.
Nice.
For those that have never seen it, it is a huge baseball bat.
That's gigantic.
Whoever did the artistic stuff on it looks really cool. Half red, half purple. Looks great. But hopefully right now it's going to be collecting dust in our trophy case for quite some time. That's the plan anyway. Next time I touch it, I want to have a coating of dust on it.
Sounds great. I think that's a great idea. So much more to talk about here with North coach Don Radomski and Black Shirt coach John Stillman. And don't forget, registration deadlines are fast approaching for youth baseball, softball, and kickball. April 5th are those dates, April 19th for youth baseball. Stick around for more on This Week in Waukesha.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Matt Nair on air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. Go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, W-A-U-K. Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, 540 AM, 101.1 FM. And if you're listening to this on the radio, be sure to download the Civic Media app so you can take This Week in Waukesha on all your favorite WAUK and Civic Media programming on the road. I know Coach Don Radomski of the North Stars and Coach John Stillman of the Blackshirts, they've got the Civic Media app downloaded so they can catch local news in between innings and the like, as well as catch the, we now have a crop report, a farm report every day. It's a lot of fun. So, great tradition. The song Sister Sledge, We Are Family. Can you either of you tell me the baseball reference to that?
Probably the Pirates.
79 Pirates. Yep. Great call. World Series champions.
Yeah. Willie Parker.
Dave Parker. Willie
Dave
Starzl,
Parker. Yeah. Willie Starzl. Yeah. Yep.
Remember the sidearm relief pitcher?
I don't know who they had.
Kent Tekulve.
Paul Tekulve. That's right. Yeah. They had the worst hats in baseball ever.
Oh, those old school. Yeah.
The pillbox. The painter's caps.
Yeah. The pillbox hats. Yeah. Yeah. And the stars. If you got, it was like helmet stickers where they Starzl gave out the stars.
That's right.
And you sewed them on their hat.
Nice.
Phil Garner at second. Tim Foley at short.
Madlock
was third. Center fielder. Omar Moreno. And I forget who the right fielder was.
What year was that?
John Milner.
79. We Are Family.
I was 8.
John Milner was in, right? Yep. So, and great, good pitching staff.
Ed Ott
was the catcher. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's in my wheelhouse, Don. I can.
That's We Are Family.
Yep. Or any baseball trivia like that.
Yeah. Oh, good, good. I may have some more.
He will win.
There we go. Hey, speaking of family. Join us in celebrating the grand reopening of the Lowell tennis courts. Courts have been completely reconstructed, excuse me. I like coming up with these new words. And then the presentation on Thursday, April 11th, 3:15 to 3:30. There will be a picnic at 3:30 with free hot dogs, no hot dog flavored water, chips and water while supplies last. 3:50 p.m. there will be a team introduction. And 4 p.m., a featured tennis matches between Waukesha North and Waukesha South. So that'll be something to celebrate. And speaking of baseball trivia, and I forgot to ask my guest on the first hour from the band program, but March is National Reading Month. And I don't know, what are you guys reading lately, or what are your favorite baseball books that you may have read?
I say the only book that I've read in probably the last 10 years related to baseball is I don't even remember the title of it. It was the whole Bonds steroid.
Okay.
Juice, I think. Is that what the one? Was that Seiko's? Yeah. Or
okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that was pretty interesting. I wanted to read all about the conspiracy behind the steroids in the game.
Yeah.
Good stuff, all the guys that were named and just how that whole thing went down.
You know, I was living in Chicago and because that big year was 98 when Sosa and McGuire had that big year. And nobody was saying it, but I was certainly thinking, because I remember Sosa when he was a little scat cat when he played for the Sox. He wasn't that big.
He was a twig.
And then, and then he just became huge. And I get it. Like, people metabolize. Like when I was in my late 20s, I gained like 20 pounds and went from being this, sopping wet to now being maybe a little on the portly side now. But but no, that's just, both of those. Because I remember McGuire not being that big either.
Nope.
And nobody was saying anything. And because baseball had suffered so much from that strike in 94.
If you look back on the Bash Brothers of Canseco and McGuire back in the A's days, right? Those guys were big compared to most guys, but nothing the way they were, 5-6 years later.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that kills me about Bonds is that he was an MVP before all of the steroid talk came up, and his former body self,
he already had a great career, and I think these guys did it later on to try to extend their careers.
So
yeah, very tragic. But how about you, John? What have you been reading?
I read a book probably 2 or 3 months ago about the Big Red Machine.
That was my team as a kid.
It was a book given to me by a colleague at the school where I teach, and we're both big baseball guys. And I read it in 2 days.
Okay.
Neglected a lot of my other duties, but
I'd love to read that. That was my team as a kid.
I can't remember exactly. It might have been called the Big Red Machine, but it was a pretty much a week by week, series by series account
of those Reds teams
of that year, 75.
Yeah. Oh, and they beat the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. It was
interesting.
I was watching that clip from Goodwill Hunting when Robin Williams tells Matt Damon that he had tickets for that game six when Pudge hit the foul pole to win the game in extra innings, and which I saw live as a little kid. And that was my really first touch with baseball. But also, when you grow up in a town that didn't have a home major league team, you kind of picked who was always on the national game of the week. And so I was born in 67. My brother before me, born in 65, he was an A's fan.
Sure.
Brother before him was an Orioles fan. And then for me, it was the Reds. That was the Big Red Machine.
Yeah, you got the one Saturday afternoon game a week, or maybe even as we got into the 70s, the Monday night game. And
yeah.
So. I was in the 80s, I was a big Mets guy. The Gary Carter. The Gooden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strawberry.
My brother's a sports medicine doctor, and he got to meet Gary Carter. Said he was the nicest guy.
I loved Gary Carter.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck of a player.
Not proud of it, but I did have a poster of him in my room.
Is that right?
Growing up. Yeah.
Sure. Hey, why not? Probably one of the greatest catchers, like pound for pound. Greatest hitting catchers, one of them.
Yeah.
Along with Johnny Bench. And Ted Simmons doesn't get a lot of, because he was in that same era as Bench and Thurman Munson and Fisk. And so, but I always talk about back then, catcher was a coveted position. People fought for that position. And they did not want to give up a game. You know, even like guys like Bench, they'd maybe play the whole season. And now it's like I remember in the last 20 years, you got to get guys from the outfield that want to make the team to catch. I think players just see what it does to your knees and everything else.
Oh, it's an investment. It's a business decision in a lot of cases. And you're right. And that, you know, that book that I read talked about how Bench was just beat up, but kept playing because they kept winning. And, you know, nowadays, if you play 162 games and you catch 120, 130, that's a rarity.
Yeah. Well, Bench, like Clemente, it was either like a serious injury or an ailment. Like, did he like lose a lung or something like that? Like
he had a lung cancer scare.
Yeah.
And they thought it was it.
Right.
And then, but yeah,
the debilitating effects though, even though he was a mere shell of his former self, he was still one of the best players.
Oh yeah.
You just didn't know it. And it was like same thing about Clemente. He was in an awful car accident in his prime.
Yep. His neck was
maybe lost in a second, but he was still one of the greatest players in the game.
Clemente was my favorite. I never saw him play live, but he still is my favorite player to watch on highlights.
No doubt, obviously. So, do we have time for a quick call from Triple G? Greg, you there?
Oh.
Do we have him?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Greg. Good morning. How are you? What questions do you have for Coach Radomski and Coach Stillman?
Well, I was just going to say go North Stars, first of all.
That's right. Yeah, Greg's a North graduate.
A proud 1996 graduate. So,
that a boy.
And I was going to just talk about my favorite baseball book, just real quick, The Voices of Baseball with Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker said that he would always, his mentor told him to broadcast games like he would broadcast them to an audience who's totally blind. And I, of course, am also totally blind. So yeah. I really appreciate that and really appreciate Uecker.
Hey, Greg, can you hang on the phone for a second? We'll be back to continue the conversation here on This Week in Waukesha with coaches Radomski and Stillman and North grad and Carroll employee and alumnus Greg Triple G Wansnyder.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Final preparations underway ahead of a massive recovery effort to remove the wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
The Army Corps of Engineers says it's nearly done sonar mapping the channel. Now, once that's done, the next step will be to cut the collapsed bridge into pieces and then lift all of that twisted steel and concrete out.
Yes, it's Nicole Skaga. With millions taking to the road this weekend,
snow will slow Easter weekend travel across northern Minnesota and the mountains of northern California. Snow will also impact weekend travel in parts of Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, Colorado, Wisconsin, and northern Maine.
Yes, is Jim Krasula. And the Pope was a last-minute no-show at last night's Good Friday observances.
This year, the Pope himself had composed the meditations read at each of the 14 stations of the cross. The Pope watched the procession from his home at the Vatican.
CBS's Sabina Castelfranco in Rome. The Pope is 87. CBS News Brief. I'm Vicky Barker.
Brewers battle the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was the first game of the season, and already tempers flared between the Brewers and Mets in New York after Milwaukee's Rhys Hoskins slid hard into second base. Coverage on the Mets TV network.
A tough pickup from McNeil. They're going to call the out. They are. And then an overslide at second base by Hoskins. And we have some hard feelings as Hoskins has words. Both benches have emptied. The bullpens are joining it as well.
No punches were thrown. Milwaukee went on to win the game 3-1. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
That shows what Rhys is about. He's a big league ball player. He's sending the message that even when you're not having the day you like it to play, you know, I'm going to play hard.
The series wraps up this weekend, followed by the Brewers home opener on Tuesday. College basketball Marquette season came to a close after losing to NC State 67-58 in the NCAA's men's tournament. The Golden Eagles finish with a record of 27-10. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and maybe a thunderstorm, a high near 49. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 35. More rain possible on Sunday. Cloudy skies, 46. Rain likely Sunday night with a low around 38. For Monday, more rain, breezy, and 46.
Right now, 35.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
It seems like the cost of everything is going up, so it's nice to save a little dough when you can, especially for something you love to eat every day. Before I go grocery shopping, I print out a coupon for $1 off any Country Hearth, Village Hearth, or Artisan Hearth bread product. My favorite is Dakota Style 12 Grain. My wife's breakfast go-to is a toasted Village Hearth English muffin. We can save a buck on each. Go to countryhearthbreads.com/coupons and print one or two out before your next shopping trip. And don't forget, Country Hearth, Village Hearth, and Artisan Hearth bread products are baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to This Week in Waukesha. For those of you who aren't familiar with, that's the winning home run scene in the movie The Natural from 1984. One of my favorite baseball movies, and obviously a very personal attachment because it was filmed in my hometown of Buffalo, New York. That stadium where that scene takes place, all the baseball games, they take place in War Memorial Stadium, where the Buffalo Bills used to play, and the minor league Buffalo Bisons. And yeah, that's just a great, great movie. And we still have Triple G is still there. Greg? Hang on, we're going to tune Greg in here. He's been very patient.
Okay, I'm still here.
Tell us about that book that you recommended again that Euchre was involved in.
Well, it's actually an audiobook. It's called Voices of Baseball. It's nice. Bob Euchre. Pat Hughes actually tells the story. Pat Hughes, of course, was a longtime broadcast partner of Bob Euchre. And Euchre broadcasts the book like he's broadcasting to an audience, or broadcasts baseball games like he's broadcasting to an audience who is totally blind and was advised to do so by a mentor of his. And I just think that's pretty fascinating. And when I listen to Bob Euchre broadcast the games, I can sense now, he really does get it. He broadcasts the games like he'll even say things like, you know, the classic just a bit outside, you know, just to kind of give a sense of what's really happening on the field. And, you know, I've played beat baseball before as a blind person, but I've never been on an actual baseball field. And it would be cool just to be able to hit the ball, you know.
Nothing like it, man.
On the baseball field someday.
Yeah.
We got to get him doing some tee work.
Yeah. So, great. Coach Radomski wants to meet you, especially as a North alumnus. So, we'll make sure we make that connection.
We got to make that happen.
We'll have to get you to come out for
And Don, I'm really hoping that you can make it out to on another related topic. I texted in the best thing I've heard.
Yes.
I'm really hoping you can make it this Wednesday.
I'm a good fan of food, so and good, you know, good gourmet food. So yeah, we'll have to give that a whirl.
I'm not a skinny guy, so you can, you know, if you saw me, you would know that you. I'm a bigger portly guy.
I may bring our language. Yeah. I may bring a couple baseball coaches out with me if there's room there. Yeah. So great. Well, Greg, I'm really grateful for the call and for all that you do for our community and our university here, Carroll, and. I want to add to what Greg was saying, too, is my favorite medium for baseball is radio. Even if I was telling someone the other day, if someone had seats right behind the Brewers dugout, I think I would still prefer to listen. I love baseball on the radio. And I was my dad was a Tigers fan because the Tigers farm team used to be in Buffalo. In fact, the old stadium was called Offerman Field, and he saw a White Sox lefty, Billy Pierce, who started with the Tigers. He saw him pitch at Offerman Field on Victory in Europe Day. And it was really neat because they made the announcement over there. And he said the whole place just, you know, went crazy, erupted, you know, confetti everywhere. And it was a really neat scene. And so another great baseball moment. But, I really do enjoy, you know, baseball, like, you know, especially you'll get the grill going or do some yard work and you catch it on the radio. And anyway, I mentioned my dad because Ernie Harwell was the voice of the Tigers for many years. And I use a lot of Ernie's euphemisms when I'll broadcast my daughter's softball games on like Game Changer or Facebook live stream. And when someone strikes out looking, I still go, I do Ernie's stood there like the house on the side of the road.
And I'm sure the other team loves that.
Well, that was it.
Right behind home plate. I'm sure they love that.
I try not to say it loud enough. But one, I guess I was in a tournament in Kenosha. My wife yells at me because I made some girl cry. And that wasn't the intent. But it is a sin to look at a close pitch on two strikes. It still drives me crazy. So, but that's just me. But
no, it's not just you.
No, it is not just you.
Yep. So
we preach that big time. Expand that zone and get the bat on the ball with two strikes.
Make the defense make a play.
I had a big argument with Mario Jimenez, father of pitcher and third base Ben Jimenez of South, because I say guard the dish on two two strikes. And he's like, no. He's like, don't, they got to be selective about pitches. And I'm like, well, they got nothing to select if they get called on something. And I said, you got to, not about, it's just like what you said from third base. I heard you yelling because someone knocked a pitch away. And you said, good, you know, throw those away. Throw the ones you don't like away. And that's why you put a bat on it with two strikes and it's close.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because when I said that, that was Logan.
Yeah.
And he did it twice.
And then he jacked one.
And then he hit one right up the middle. And Kias, Pius coach, was standing, you know, 10 feet away from me. He goes, that's a lost art. He goes, people don't realize how important to foul. He goes, oh, my gosh, how fouling away a pitch, how novel.
Yeah.
It is. It's something that is, you know, with the analytics and the saver metrics, they think strikeouts are okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So 2 points on that. One is finishing the story, this anecdote with Mario. Is the next time Ben was up, literally the next time, there was a two strike. There was a pitch in the outside corner, two strikes, and he like did like a check swing, and it sailed into right field and you know went on the left side of the right field line, and it was a base hit, and it was an RBI. And I said, and I looked at Mario. I said, this is why you guard the dish.
Yeah.
Because sometimes even if you're not, and again, I don't think he was meaning to hit it. He just wanted to knock it away.
Well, we preached that,
and he that traveled.
We preach that if you strike out, that means that's one less out of the 21 that we get, that they don't have to make a play. And making a play, whether it's catching a fly ball or picking up a ground ball, is hard.
Yeah. But the other thing is, my second point is, there was a journeyman major leaguer, maybe a lifetime average of like 213 or 140, whatever, a guy named Gary Reedus. And you know, another hair of him, but his career lasted like well over 10 years. And teams would pick him up because he was considered the toughest out in baseball because he knew how to foul a ball away in two strikes. And that's an art. It's a value, because if you're facing a tough pitcher, he's got to waste an extra 5 or 10 pitches a game that he could be saving for, you know, better hitters.
Absolutely. And in high school, pitch count is huge. So anytime you can go deep in counting, you know, get that guy's pitch count running up, you want to try to get to the bullpen.
Sure, sure.
And so, we track quality at bats. We track if you make an out with seeing six or more pitches, that's a quality at bat.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but that's, you know, talking about National Reading Month, the books, I've read so many great books about baseball, but a couple that come to mind are I Never Had It Made by Jackie Robinson, great baseball book. Boys of Summer, also about that Dodgers team, Roger Kahn. My favorite parts in the beginning, there's this, it takes place at a bar in Pennsylvania, some small, you know, like mining town or steel town. And there's a, you know, kind of a heavy set guy sitting at the bar, and used to tell everyone he played third base for the old Brooklyn Dodgers. And no one believed him. They said, yeah, this guy's full of it, you know. And the author, Roger Kahn, like in the next chapter, he shows up in this, you know, I'm looking for what's his name. I hear he hangs out here. Yeah, he's not here. Why? It was while I'm writing a book about the old Brooklyn Dodgers. And that was the guy was telling the truth. Guy. Yeah, yeah. So. But a couple other books. One was Shoeless Joe, with the movie Field of Dreams is based on that. And great book and easy read. I'm a slow reader. But the difference between the book and the movie was the James Earl Jones character in the book was J.D. Salinger, author of Catcher in the Rye. And there is a baseball reference to that book. And supposedly Salinger did an article or an interview for Time or Life magazine. And he talks about the two greatest tragedies in his life. One is when the Giants left the Polo Grounds to move to San Francisco. The second, well, actually, no, that was the second one. The first one was when he reached a time in his age when he knew he wasn't good enough to play pro baseball because he loved baseball like that much. And so instead of James Earl Jones going to Ebbets Field to see Jackie Robinson and the Brooklyn Dodgers, it's J.D. Salinger going through the corn to go back to the Polo Grounds to see like Willie Mays and some of the other, you know, Bobby Thompson. And so I just love that. But the other book I didn't finish but saw the movie, and but I did get a lot of great nuggets from the book, was Moneyball.
Sure.
And just about that Bill James book, and just how baseball has been measured over the years is, you know, really kind of a laugh. I mean, a ball gets hit under a player's legs, and if he doesn't touch it, that's a base hit. So like that one that Texas leaguer the other night, center fielder's coming for the ball, and even though it's closer to right field, it's his call.
Correct.
And the right fielder stands back, and then the center fielder, like, you know, like, that's a hit because neither guy touched it. And
very subjective.
Millions of dollars are invested based on that data.
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought that was a great, and the whole idea of just getting on base. So, and I just tell my, when my kids like slump, they do manage to get bases on ball. They managed to get on that base, and that's ultimately that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I mean in high school ball too, putting a ball in play, just putting a ball in play, because like John was saying, any ball that is in play, especially on the carpet, if you can put it on a carpet, you know you have a chance to get on, and you're moving runners. That's the other thing too. You're moving runners.
Yeah,
A ground ball to the right side with anybody on base is huge.
Sure. Yeah,
In high school ball, you only have 7 innings. You don't have time to wait.
Right.
I mean, you don't have 9 innings. You have 7, and you have to make things happen a little bit quicker and a little bit sooner.
Another reason why you can't be looking at any close pitches on 2 strikes.
True.
So, yeah, very true. But I noticed the other night, too, there weren't a lot of walks by either team, which I guess is a credit to the pitching.
I think we walked one of their players. Our inning that we scored, we had 2 right away, and those 2 guys scored.
Yeah.
And to your point, that's how you get guys moving.
Well, and that's what ultimately cost Pius. That guy gave up 2 walks right away.
With 2 outs.
With 2 outs.
Yes.
First 2 guys out, and then our 9-hitter and leadoff hitter walked, and then we scored 3.
Yeah, and it wasn't the best of nights to be pitching. A little chilly.
Sure. Yeah.
A little chilly. So those guys.
It really wasn't the best of night to be doing much of anything.
Playing baseball.
Yeah.
But I thought both sides, though, Pius and South had. I thought the pitchers did a nice job, especially in that weather.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So now your first game, is it Tuesday, Don?
Correct. Tuesday we play New Berlin West.
Okay. At West or?
At Frame.
At Frame.
Yep.
Okay.
So and then, yep.
7:30, right?
7:30, but the weather right now isn't on our side. There's talking rain, possible snow, so we'll see how that shakes out. I know Frame's turf, but it's another story when you're playing through a snowstorm. Ask John about that. I think that was
I've seen some games in the snow there at Frame.
Yeah, right. So. Some wind and snow, and so we'll see how that goes out. And then Saturday's looking better for us. That's at Nicolet, which is a beautiful park. That's the Maslowski Park, MSOE. So we're looking excited. They're hosting all 3 of our levels on Saturday. So we're looking for. It's supposed to be 55 and sunny. So that hopefully we get that one in.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, real quick, I wanted to finish up the Carroll Minute from the first hour and wanted to shout out Caitlin Brandle, who was named CCIW Women's Tennis Student Athlete of the Week. Congratulations to her. She's a native of Neshota, and she picked up a critical singles victory last Saturday that ensured the Pioneers a 5-4 win over Wartburg. So Brandle was a straight sets winner from the 5th spot in the lineup, defeating the Knights' Lily Schreckengast 7-6-7-3. So congrats to her. And with Abby in training too, we're going to be leaning on her a lot for help with the Carroll Minute. I'm sure she has a lot of great nuggets of what's going on there over at the university. So, but with coaches Radomski and Stillman, how are things like, because you're still in the Classic 8, right? I know there's been talk about moving to another conference. Who's looking good in the Classic 8?
Well, Arrowhead, Kettle Moraine, Oconomowoc, Muskego, I think all 4 of those are ranked, if I'm not mistaken, in the top 15 or 20 in the state.
Wow.
I stopped looking at rankings. I know they're going to be good every year.
Sure.
Kettle Moraine lost 1 senior, and they were really good last year. Arrowhead has 2 guys starting from last year's team. As freshmen, they're starting on SEC teams.
Wow.
And they just reload. They don't rebuild.
Right.
They reload.
Sure, sure. We're going to continue this conversation about the upcoming season with John Stillman, head coach of the Blackshirts, and Don Radomski, head coach of the North Stars, here in This Week in Waukesha on WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas. Through the whole premiere, his biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, listening this week in Waukesha. And Coach Down at Opsie is getting some coffee, so but while we wait for him, Coach John Stillman of Waukesha South. Can you tell us what that song's from?
This Week in Baseball.
Nice, with Mel Allen. We might have to play it again for Coach Radomski. And did you mind just replaying a few?
He heard my answer, though.
Oh, so that... Well, he may not have.
No, I didn't.
Here we go. Did you recognize this song? Cool. Okay, you can cut it. Thanks, Anya.
I could hum it for you, but I can't tell you where it's coming from, though.
It was the title song to This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen.
Oh, yeah, Mel Allen, that's right.
But now we got this thing. Ozzie Smith
was on the usually on there, too. Yeah. Ozzie was on there a lot.
Ozzie Smith, and showing my age here, but when I would watch that in the late 70s, early 80s, they would show you people on the rooftop of Wrigley Field before that became a thing, when they were just like, you know, if you rented an apartment there, you could go up on the roof and watch the Cubs for free. And Mel Allen would always show clips from that, like on nice summer days. And then someone got the idea to commercialize it.
And I
bet if they brought that back.
This Week in Baseball?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think kids would love that.
Yeah. Oh, it's great, because the highlights of everything that happened. And
not only the highlights, but then you get the special guests, and they always had that feature of, you know, how to feel the ground ball
I
loved it.
Speaking of Johnny Bench, yeah.
The baseball bunch? Is that the...
The baseball bunch.
That's right.
With the generic uniforms.
God, how old are we?
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
That sure was. Hey, so I wanted to make a special community announcement here. Bear with me a moment. And that is on, I believe it's April 12th. We've got the, let's see here. Well, first, Saturday, April 6th, join us for a family adventure based on the book, How to Be a Bigger Bunny. Every family will get a copy of the book as they participate in rock climbing, pirate boat race, with a take-home boat, bunny ear decorating, designing a superhero cape, and more fun. The event's a fundraiser for the Waukesha Parks, Rec, and Forestry Financial Assistance Fund. So, great cause there. But then there's another very important community event. Oh, and don't forget, Monday's the last day you can sign up for Waukesha Unlocked if you're a local business or own a building here with a lot of great history behind it. That's really one of the great events in our community that now takes place every other year. And City of Waukesha is hiring. A lot of great opportunities. Administrative assistant, arborist, building attendant, clean water plant operations operator, dispatch engineer, equipment operator, and firefighter paramedic, which leads to my next point. And Don's the proud father of a Village of Waukesha firefighter, son Jonah, my daughter's boyfriend of many years. So I had to throw that in there. But
we are very proud of Jonah. He's a go-getter.
Great guy. Yeah. We're really grateful that he's in our lives too. And speaking of firefighters, the Boots and Badges basketball game between the Waukesha Police Fire and the New Berlin Brookfield Police Fire take place April 12th, Friday night, the 12th, 7 p.m. at Waukesha South High School. Admissions $5. Proceeds benefit the Parade Memorial Fund and the Waukesha Food Pantry. And then the big announcement is outgoing Fire Chief Steve Howard is my guest on April 20th, along with Assistant Chief Joe Hoffman. Chief Howard, as many of you know, announced back in January his retirement after 36 years of faithful service to the city. And Steve's also a graduate of Waukesha North High School. So I know that Don's very pleased to hear that. And we'll be listening on that day.
Yeah, bleeding purple. I love it.
So, yep. So, yeah, we'll have to get him to show up at a North game, maybe do a little honorarium for him. So, but we were talking before about the Classic Eight, and you got at least four or five top 20 teams. Mm-hmm. It's always a tough conference. And how's West supposed to be this year?
With Chad's teams, he'll make do with whatever he has. I'm sure he's got some guys coming back, but he has such a program and a culture that they're never going to be down. They're never going to be out of it. They're always going to compete.
He had a couple big injuries last year that I know set them back a little bit, but Coach Montez, again, like John had said, those guys are always very well coached, and he squeezes everything he can get out of those guys. They'll be tough.
Coach Stillman, you have two of his nephews in your program. Any kind of special intel you can get there?
Working on it.
Dad, brother Lee is the coach of our varsity basketball program.
Yeah. Braden and Alex are guys on our team. They're sophomores. So, I'll see what but Chad doesn't make much secrets about it. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Like Don said, they're going to be extremely well coached. They're going to pick up ground balls, and they're going to bunt, and they're going to take advantage of your mistakes.
Yep. Hey, before I forget, stick around because James Santel is next. He graced us with some delicious pastries, eclairs, I believe. But his show is now called Amicus, a law review. And if I were king, I would call the show Atticus because if anyone can resemble Gregory Peck in the courtroom, it's our good friend James Santel. But stick around. Great info on the developing law. And that goes from 9 to 11. But here in our final minutes with my good friends, real quick, there was talk about switching all the North and South teams into, I know football's going to Parkland, but the other programs will go into Woodland. Have you heard any latest developments on that? And certainly do you embrace
it? I don't necessarily know the latest, but football will be moving conferences next year.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
And after that, I don't know if the final papers have gone through yet, but it's leaning towards us, all the sports making the move the final year.
Yeah, fall of 25 is the plan to go to the Woodland. Yep. And at least in our last coaches meeting at South, it's on the table. It's been kind of brought back to have some more discussions about it, but it still looks like a pretty clear bet.
Yeah, and I think it's got to help with our program in terms of attracting more talent to
those teams. We'd be playing competitive teams that look like us.
Sure.
Population wise and just the makeup of our population.
Sure. So
it's a tough schools though. I mean, you got the New Berlin schools in there and Whitnall's.
Yeah, they're competitive too.
They're going to be good.
Yep. Yeah. So final comments, Coach Radomski of North.
I just want to say thanks for having me on the show. We're really looking forward for the season. We'll be battling South this year towards the end of the year. So
sounds great. Yeah. Coach Stillman.
Likewise, thank you for having us on and advertising our programs. And, if you get a chance to see one of either North or South, frame, one of those nights is usually, taken by us, one of the two, some pretty good baseball to be had in this city.
Sounds great. Waukesha North Coach Don Radomski, South Coach John Stillman. It's baseball season. Get ready. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful Easter weekend for those of you who observe, and remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and see ya.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. The
Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Upside.